This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's edition of This Week in the NFL. I'm your host, or co-host, the Cowboy, joined by the esteemed John D'Amato. John, what's going on?
All right, Cowboy. I got excited when I saw you can make our date. And it's like I said, hooking up with you is kind of like a single man in the Tinder world. You get a confirmation on a date, and then an hour or two, you wonder whether she's going to show up or whether she's going to cancel, and then you get excited when she said, I got more excited when I see your call than I do when somebody actually shows up.
So what John's alluding to, we did miss last week, and completely on me. The real world got involved, not the MTV kind, and I just could not make any time work. For what it's worth, if you're going to miss a week, week 15 was a bit of a slog in the NFL. You loved it, I'm sure. A lot of defense.
No, I didn't. Those 1 o'clock games were the worst. All year. They were brutal. I was kind of jealous. Senior had the right idea. You go to a nice 2 o'clock Friday game, and he skipped the 1 o'clock games. I wish I got the 3.5 hours of my life back.
I skipped the Friday game.
You should have went.
We don't talk fantasy football on here, but we will for a second. So fantasy apocalypse, as Matthew Berry called it. It seemed like every good player did not play well. And just a crazy, really a crazy week overall. Just it's like the game went back to 1955. I thought you would be all in on that, John. Right up your alley. We had two shutouts, three shutouts.
Yeah, I like defensive games, but they got to be close, like a 13-10, not a total shutout. Not a 17-0 in the rain. You know what I'm alluding to. The less said about that, the better.
Man. So,
the solo games were good, like the Thursday and the Saturday games.
The Sunday night and the Monday.
Yeah, all the solo games and the 4 o'clock. Can't get better than the 4 o'clock Sundays. But just all the crap was all in that 1 o'clock window.
And it was ugly. It was ugly. And it can't get better than the 4 o'clock Sundays is a little bit of a stretch, too. I guess you like Steelers, Pat. 17-10. No one could do anything. It was great.
Hey, it went down right to the last minute, man. That's what I like.
Perfect. So we'll dive right into it. We're in playoff time, almost playoff time. Teams jockeying for playoff position. Not a whole lot settled because all the best teams keep losing. So we have a number of different playoff scenarios. So first game I want to touch on, John, and you alluded to it, is Thursday night Chargers going to Kansas City. This Chargers team, these are cardiac kids. It's like the old Colts with Jim Harbaugh at quarterback. You can never count them out. Down 28-14 with 3.5 minutes left in the game. They come back, touchdown, force the 3-and-out, get the ball back, touchdown, ballsy 2-point conversion call. They get it. The Chiefs just didn't cover Mike Williams. They really didn't cover Mike Williams the whole game, but they really, really didn't cover him on that play. And all of a sudden, we have a race in the AFC West with both the Chargers and the Chiefs sitting at 11-3. And the Chiefs close with the hapless Raiders, but they do have they have Seattle this week, which is certainly a difficult game. Anytime you have to go to Seattle, it's tough. It's Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs' offense misses Kareem Hunt pretty obviously. They haven't quite been the same since him and Sammy Watkins went down. Seattle can win that game, and the Chargers can win out. All of a sudden, the Chiefs are a wild card, and the Chargers are probably your odds-on favorite to make it to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. What do you think of the game, the Chargers' performance, Mahomes, etc.?
The Chargers, they just play on such a thin line. The first half, Rivers bookended the first and last passes of the first half were just awful. The two awful picks to put him in the hole. As great as Rivers is, So sometimes he just takes – he's a gunslinger. He takes too many chances. He must have the most career interceptions in the end zone. He throws a lot of end zone picks that, you know, leaves a lot of points on the table and then makes it hard on himself to come back. But when he's on in the – like he was in the fourth quarter, he's unstoppable. And another thing that came out of this was it always comes down to the defense. When they cut it to 28-21, you just figure that KC is going to get a couple first downs and salt this baby away. And the Chargers really brought it. They brought a rush, and the Chiefs didn't do anything. Just a three and out. They got a penalty. They were just on their heels on offense, and they couldn't do anything. And the Chargers just got the ball back and ran right down for the score. It came down to a couple of the Chargers' defensive stops. Joey Bosa and Derwin James in the backfield just. They just got a championship pedigree right now, but it's always the Chargers. They have that history, and I wouldn't be surprised if this week at home with the Ravens, not much home field advantage. I'm sure you'll ask me about it later, but you can probably tell which way I'm leaning. I'm going to just go against the teams with more of a championship pedigree.
Man, it was the Chiefs really only needed one first down. One first down just about salts the game away, and they couldn't get it.
But they started like with a hold. I think it was a full start. They never went anywhere on that three and out. That was just a total disaster. I guess you got to give credit to Lynn and the Chargers defense. They didn't just sit back. They got right in Mahomes' face.
Absolutely. And what do you think of the Chiefs? I mean, the scuttlebutt around the league. They miss Hunt. The offense doesn't look quite as good. For my money, I mean, the games they lose, I mean, Mahomes is still brilliant. And I mean, it's not like the offense didn't put up any points, but it really seems like their defense could be their undoing in the playoffs, that eventually it's so tough to win when you have to just outscore everybody. And eventually they're going to run into this kind of situation where they need a stop and they're not going to be able to get it.
Yeah, they make some plays, but it seems like they wear down and they can't come through in the fourth quarter and they really need it. But another thing I took out of this game is by the time week 15 comes around, everybody has injuries. You can't cry about injuries. These guys, both of these teams are down to third string running backs, and they both did very well. What was it, Damian Williams, the Chiefs, was the... The names confuse me. The running back had a great game.
Yes, okay.
And for the Chargers, it was the Jackson kid,
Justin Jackson.
Yeah, yeah. They both exemplified themselves very well. They're down to the third string running backs. You know, a lot of teams bitch up and they cry about, you know, all the injuries. At this stage of the game, everybody has injuries, so you have to have guys on the depth chart that could come in and fill in. I see guys, you know, like my Giants, you know, when Barkley has to sit out a couple drives, you know, if Wayne Goldman gets a yard and a half, I pop a bottle of champagne, you know. But these guys came right in and they played at a championship, you know, at a playoff level.
You can throw it was the week of the third string running back, because you can throw Jalen Samuels onto that list as well. What a great game
patient.
He played.
Yeah, I was being patient. We'll get to that, sure.
So we have
got up depth.
The Chargers have a tough game Saturday. Baltimore coming to Los Angeles. Baltimore is a funny team because I feel like they're the way they're playing right now with the run first and with Lamar Jackson and rely on the defense. Like, I feel like they're the kind of team that can beat anybody, but they can all and they can lose to anybody. What do you think about that game, John?
Once again, we agree too much. As far as the Ravens go, they could miss the playoffs. They could make it as a wild card. They could make it as a division winner, and they're capable of going all the way to the Super Bowl. And they're also capable of falling short in this game and missing the playoffs. They play on that type of edge there, and with Lamar Jackson's he's inexperienced, but he also can make a lot of plays that Flacco and a lot of other quarterbacks can't make. They were this close to beating the Chiefs in KC a couple weeks ago, and that would have been a big difference for both teams. But I give the Ravens the edge. The little Terrell Suggs and Harbaugh's experience, I give the Ravens an edge. I think they're gonna pull it out over the Chargers on Saturday. Plus, the Chargers don't have much of a home field advantage, so I'm gonna lean towards the Ravens. But either way, it's gonna be a toss up. It's gonna come down to a few plays, maybe a ref's call or something. But
yeah, I like the Chargers in a squeaker, but I think we're kind of seeing this game the same way. I don't see a lot of scoring. And kind of somebody's going to win 20-17. That's kind of
especially the Chargers have played too close to the edge. This is about 3 weeks in a row. Going back to that Steeler game, this game, they just can't rely on winning in like they have in the last minute. And like I said, Rivers is a gunslinger. He gets burned a lot, especially on this Ravens defense. Even if Gordon comes back, I think the Ravens got the defense to keep him in check.
And then the other, another big game with playoff implications that I don't really want to talk about, but I will. We've alluded to it a couple of times here. The Patriots go into Pittsburgh. They tend to own the Steelers. The game starts off like a house of fire. Both teams get a touchdown, and the Patriots score 3 more points the rest of the game. Brady throws a red zone pick, just an awful play, and the Steelers get the hard-fought victory. Now, you can argue, I mean, the game did mean more to Pittsburgh, but for the Pats, it's a kind of a tough couple of weeks. They're shitty on the road, 3-5 on the road this year. They close with a couple of cupcakes with the Bills and the Jets. DEFCON 3 here in New England if they happen to drop one of those games. But it's looking, you know, a distinct, you know, likelihood that they're going to be playing. They will not get a bye unless Houston falters somewhere. So, what were your thoughts on that game? Do you think the Steelers won the game? The Patriots lost it. For me, I don't think either team was particularly impressive. Like if I'm the Chiefs or the Chargers or the Texans, those versions of those two teams that I saw on Sunday, I would not be the least bit scared of, especially at home. But that's just my take.
Yeah, I would give the Steelers defense a lot of credit, although the Patriots had a lot of drop passes and like even the Brady interception you alluded to, it was still a great play by Joe Hayden. Sure,
it was a
poorly thrown pass, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to give your opponents credit. You know, people that hate the Patriots, they're gonna, you know, always crap on them. And you know, and if you're a Steeler, it depends how you lean on it. These are two talented teams. Sometimes you just have to give the opponent credit. The Patriots have had their number, you know, for the past few times in a row. So eventually the Steelers would do it. And the Steelers are really looking forward to this game. As a matter of fact, they lost to the entire AFC West. Just look them, and they sacrificed all the AFC West games they went all for just to win this game. They had this one marked on the calendar, and they pretty much took off versus like the Raiders and the Broncos just to win this one, and they barely did. But still, they got to go into New Orleans next week, and if the Ravens put the pressure on them by winning Saturday night, that game's gonna be pretty much a play-in game, because if they lose that, they have a chance to be out altogether. If the Colts win the last two, then the Steelers lose to New Orleans, and the Ravens win, they're out altogether.
Yep, and the Steelers close with the Bengals, so that should be a win. The Ravens close with the Browns, who still have some playoff possibilities as well. I mean, it's not likely, but it's still in play for the Browns. Pretty tough game for the Ravens, but this was a must-win, to your point, for the Steelers. 100% must-win. I mean, I would be really, really surprised if they go into New Orleans and win. Historically, Ben, not as good on the road. New Orleans, historically, brutally tough at home. I know the New Orleans offense hasn't looked great the last couple of weeks, but I kind of expect them to get back on track. Should be a really fun game to watch. I think the New Orleans defense will be able to get a couple more stops than the Steelers will, but you know, should be a bit of a shootout, but really, really difficult game for Pittsburgh there.
I'm gonna look to the desperation factor. New Orleans has they could slack off this game and they still have that last game if they win going against Carolina, and then now it's a Taylor Heinicke, whatever the fuck his name is.
Heinicke.
They know they pretty much got a layup that last game, and they still have the home field. So I'm going to give the Steelers a desperation factor, and I'm going to give them some hope to pull it out.
Oh, they got a shot. No question about it. I mean, New Orleans has looked very vulnerable. I mean, that was an awful game on Monday night. I mean, they played terrible. Cam Newton's arm looked like it was going to friggin' fall off. I mean, he looked like Scotty C during the day after Thanksgiving football game. You know what I mean? I mean, just not hitting all the throws. I love you, Scott, but you know you're not in the NFL. and I mean, they gave them every opportunity to win that game. Bonehead fumble at the end.
Yeah, you see, Peyton sometimes gets a little too cute. He wants to be the offensive innovator genius. You got great running backs like Kamara and Ingram, and he wants to use the Lewis kid in the clutch time. You know, the kid fumbles. He's not used to carrying by the goal line. Sometimes got to keep it simple. But also the lack of depth in their receivers is starting to catch up with them. After Michael Thomas, their receivers are rather inexperienced. Yeah, Kamara
is essentially their number two receiver. The other guys are all off the street.
Yeah, they really struggled their last four games on offense. Going back to that Dallas game, and even that we missed out last week, but we didn't get to talk too much about that. The Tampa Bay game, they were struggling most of the game. They needed a Taysom Hill block punt, which really really sparked them that game. They did put up 28 points, but they were struggling most of that game to the lousy Bucks defense. So
right.
that's why I give the Steelers a sliver of hope. I would lean towards them in an upset.
You're all in.
I'm going Ravens and Steelers.
All in on the Central this week. All in
on
Ravens
the Central. And the North, yeah, the North, yeah. Ravens
I'm
and
sorry.
Steelers. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Man, no worries.
That's not expert level stuff right there. Sorry, guys.
I failed geography too. Don't worry about it.
So that's real interesting with the way that's shaking out. The NFC East is, I mean, interesting. It's interesting. I mean, it's.
No, getting back to your Patriots, I wouldn't lose all hope because I would still give them a fighting chance of the Texans dropping to the Eagles and your boys just taking the last turn, still getting that bye.
Oh, I haven't lost hope. The one thing about this year, with the way all the, you know, it really looked like we were going to have a few juggernauts this year.
And yeah.
Just the way things have shaken out the last couple of weeks, you're seeing big, big holes on these supposedly great team.
Especially the AFC is so wide open. I would not at all be surprised if this is the first time. I mean, your guys have done everything else, and to put it on their resume, for them to win three games on the way to the Super Bowl for the first time, because all the other times they went there, they had the bye week. So this would be the first time. I wouldn't even be surprised if it went down like that.
I mean, and that's the thing. You're not surprised by that. I also wouldn't be surprised to see them just get smacked in the first round.
Sure. Nah, I think at home they'll be all right.
And the NFC, I mean, I don't know who's standing out there. I mean, the Bears are playing the best right now. But, I mean, I love you, Tim, but I don't know how much I trust Trubisky in a playoff game. I mean, they got a really good defense, but you know, you're up against, you know, the Saints, I would say the Rams, but
yeah,
they got some stuff to figure out there.
First playoff game for the coach and quarterback. That's a tough ask to march all the way to the Super Bowl for a first on both. But I would say the Saints in the NFC are head and shoulders above the rest. They're close to peaking right now, but not totally peaking because the offensive struggles that we talked about.
They're tough at home, and unless they completely fold, they're going to be at home for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they're in good shape there.
The Rams, like the way the Rams are, we haven't talked about them, but they're. I mean, that was two brutal performances in a row by them. They almost pulled this one out of the fire. I mean, they looked terrible the whole game.
And yeah, then, if that kid didn't fumble, JoJo Natson didn't fumble.
It was just like
they would have been in shape. Yeah.
It was very similar to the game they won against Green Bay, where stupid Ty Montgomery coughed it up. The kid. I get the kid's trying to make a play, but your offense is finally doing something. It's not like
he didn't even get hit. Yeah,
You got a fair catch that ball. There's a guy standing right in front of him. I know the guy didn't knock it out, but you got a fair catch that ball. But so speaking of that game, the Eagles, who we've buried more than once on here, lose Wentz. It's like deja vu all over again. Lose Wentz and Big Dick Nick comes in. It leads him to a win in Los Angeles. He didn't play great, but he didn't play bad. And is there any way that these guys are gonna go on this miracle run again with Foles at the helm?
they could sneak into the for a playoff that last wild card spot. Although I don't even see that, because I think Minnesota and Seattle pretty much got the wild card spots in hand, and I don't see Dallas falling off. So I don't think Philly's going to cut it, but Foles just has that little extra something. There's like five or six passes that like are worse than what you said, what you see at your Carson Circle game. And you're like, this guy doesn't belong, you know, in the NFL. And then most of the other times he pulls through, man. He's just got that something. Very mercurial.
I mean, the Cowboys laid an egg, vicious egg, against Indy. They've been playing so well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm but not, the not scheduling a big gambler, gods. But you saw Indy is 3.5-point favorites in that game. You're like, what the hell? How is that? And my guess would be that like 80% of the money was on the Cowboys in that game, and it wasn't even close. Shutout. Two shutouts in the NFC East this week.
Yep. The scheduling gods, though, grace the Cowboys, though. Home versus Tampa and at the Giants. So they should be able to pull through and clinch the division there. The Dallas... Just a big home field advantage for them this year. They've been terrible on the road, but fortunately for them, the one game they needed to step up on the road was that Philly game, and that's the one that's going to win them the division. And that was about the only game they played well on the road all year.
Do you know
a big disparity?
I should know this. Do you know off the top of your head if the Cowboys have the tiebreaker on Philly?
The division. Well, it'll come down to that Giant if they win the Giant game.
Right, but if they end out tied, if they lose one of their two games and then Philly wins both, they're both 9-7. Any idea?
No, Dallas head-to-head.
Dallas beat them twice, right?
They beat them twice, yeah.
So, Dallas essentially, there's no way Dallas. So Dallas would have to lose both games.
Yeah, they're not going to lose to Tampa and the Giants. That's not, yeah.
No, most likely not. And then, so Philly's really hoping to catch either the Seahawks
or Minnesota.
The Seahawks, they're probably not going to catch.
The Vikings. Their best bet would be for the Vikings to lose to the Lions.
Well, Minnesota's 7-6-1, and
Philly's 7-7. Yeah.
And Minnesota has the Lions this week and the Bears.
Yeah, he'll be playing for nothing.
If the Bears are playing for nothing. You know, you wonder, though, if they want to knock out the division rival. But it's a tough road, but I can tell you, I wouldn't want to face that guy in the playoffs. He's got that magic.
Who are we talking about?
Foles. Foles.
Oh, yeah.
I would want no part of it.
Yeah, their best bet, Minnesota's been terrible on the road, another terrible team. But Detroit, that's about their prayer. But even asking Philly to beat the Texans is going to be tough too. So
I know the Texans are playing well. I mean, that was like road game, trap game on a Saturday. Things didn't go their way, and I really like the grit they showed pulling that one out. Hopkins is amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, the Jets gave him a good tussle. That was an entertaining game. And also we have our nation represented in Chicago. With Timmy was there, and also our boy Calvin, a big Texans fan, was Yeah, he was at the game. So it's good. We got a nice variety of teams in the playoffs. So.
Calvin doing the brave thing, going to New York and rooting for the Texans.
In the rain. Nah, he's safe there, man. There's always New York's a big, Jersey, a big tourist spot. There's always every game I've went to, there's always been teams from opposing the stadiums there. So
let's get back. I want to talk more about the Rams.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
So, in two games in a row, they've looked awful. I mean, just pathetic. Goff.
Jared, that's okay.
Yep. I meant Josh. I know he's Jared Goff. One touchdown, seven picks. Kind of deer in the headlights-y look. Like whatever was working for them seems to have stopped working. And I know, it looks like the scheduling gods did them some favors with they get Arizona and then I believe San Francisco week 17. I wouldn't like that if I were McVay to have these two terrible games against good teams, and now you're going to play against two teams that aren't even going to test you. Right? I mean, they can beat the Cardinals with you or I playing quarterback, and San Francisco is not much better. Oh, big win for the 49ers against the Seahawks. But, I mean, they're trending toward, if they don't get it together, they're trending toward just losing their first playoff game again, like last year where they lost as favorites. Do you see them kind of righting the ship against these two shit teams and going in with a little momentum, or do you see them getting punched in the mouth again in the first round?
Yeah.
Second round, if they should hold on for the bye.
Get the bye, yeah. To me, who have they beat all year? They beat the Chargers, Seattle,
Chiefs.
Minnesota. Yeah, the Chiefs game, sure. But they kind of got lulled into sleep with their pretty soft schedule. Thankfully, they'll either have to play in the dome because you saw what happened in a couple weeks ago in Chicago. Goff just friggin' disintegrated once the temperature went under 40 degrees. It was like he never played in the cold in his life. He could not handle that at all. But also McVay, just like we said with Peyton, probably getting too cute with the offense. You got Todd Gurley there. Feed him the rock when your quarterback's struggling. Too much Goff slinging it back there, and obviously the kid's struggling. But I would say that outdoors would have a lot to do with him.
Yeah, I think they miss Kopp quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely,
too.
Definitely. Yeah, it was like a safety valve on a good, great third down receiver. Sure.
Yeah, Goff's got real good chemistry with him.
Yeah,
their
big
defense pretty disappointing in this game. It seems like, I kind of put it on Sue. It was very unlikable in general, but I mean, every game you watch of theirs, they're double and triple teaming Donald on every play.
Yeah, Sue's kind of coasting.
Sue's supposed to be a guy, right, who before he came to Los Angeles would be the guy commanding the double or triple team. He's single blocked every play, and I mean, you barely even know he's in the game, so I don't know if it's like he's getting a little old or
kind of coasting, yeah.
Kind of coasting, but I thought like Talib back would make a big difference for them, but Jeffrey just lit them up. And then really they haven't been able to stop the run all year, which also is on Sue. And the Eagles, Wendell Smallwood, not exactly Barry Sanders in his prime, was ripping them. Sproles was ripping them. And assuming they can get out of the second round, having to go to New Orleans, who has already beaten them, to New Orleans and face that run game. It's not even so much the passing game, but that run game. I give them next to no chance to win that game.
Yeah, and also Foles, 31 passes and zero sacks. His uniform was clean at the end of the night. Really, the Rams are kind of coasting, and they have to get their mojo back quick. I mean, it looks like they already blew. It'd take a miracle for them to get home field, so they blew that. So they're not peaked. They're not. It looks like they peaked in the middle of at about week 10.
Right.
Just like you said, just like last year, and then that they were susceptible to getting punched in the mouth in that first home playoff game.
Yeah, and I mean Gurley's banged up now too. He's probably going to play this week, but I mean, with Goff playing the way he is, Gurley was the whole offense in that game. They can ill afford to have him at less than 100%. It's crazy times, crazy times. You think you know, all right, these are the best teams. Like, I mean, after week 8, week 9, the Chiefs and the Rams were, I mean, just world beaters, right? I mean, just no one's going to touch these guys. And now big, big doubts for both teams. Different reasons, yeah. But big doubts.
Yeah, definitely. Especially in the AFC is wide open. You can make a case for 6-7 teams going all the way to the show in the AFC.
Right, absolutely. I mean, crazy season that the Browns, I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that if Greg Williams kept it up, would they keep him? And I mean, I think they should win this week. They have the Bengals coming to town. The Bengals suck. So they should win that game. And then they have that showdown with Baltimore. I mean, I honestly think getting to 7 wins, I think they keep him around. I mean, it really looks like if they would have just not had Hugh Jackson for those first few games where he – I mean, they could have legitimately been like 4-1. And he was, I mean, they were blowing games at the end, left and right. I think Williams is the coach there next year.
Yeah, even if not, they should definitely they should definitely keep the offensive Kitchens, the offensive coordinator, because he seems to have a good rapport with Baker Mayfield. And if they opt not to go with Williams, and then whoever they bring in is going to bring their own guy in, he might not have the same rapport with Baker, and that would be like his third offensive coordinator in 1 year. So, I think Kitchens would be safe to. I'm not so sure about Williams because of his past, some issues there.
Hey,
he's a little abrasive, but you know, you are what your record is. So I don't think the guy wanted.
He's
him to
reformed.
Succeed, but,
he's reformed. Yeah. He's not telling people to go attack the ACL. No more injury pool.
Yeah. The bounty hunter, yeah.
that game, Browns Broncos, was a good game. I think if the Broncos come down and kick a field goal at the end after they, I mean, I thought the Browns very stupidly going for it on that fourth down at the end of the game when you make Case Keenum drive the whole field and have to score a touchdown with whatever there was, a minute and 10 seconds left. I mean, I think that was crazy to go for it. And it almost cost them. But shows how things are. Those are games that the Browns always lose. And their mistake didn't even bite them in the ass.
Yeah, three worms turned. The Steelers exercised their demons over the Pats. The San Diego had lost about 9 in a row to the Chargers, and this one, the Browns had lost a bunch in a row to the Broncos. So stuff changed around this week.
Yeah, and the 49ers, I really like Kyle Shanahan, very very good coach. Their personnel is like a college team, and he keeps them competitive every week. And they actually got a W against Seattle in a game that, if they won, I mean, that basically sews up the wild card for the Seahawks. And now, real tough game with Kansas City. And then week 17, Seahawks have – sorry, I don't know the whole schedule off the top of my head. They have the Cardinals week 17 at home, so that's a gimme. But 9-7 should get it done, but 10-6 was a guarantee. So pretty bad loss for Seattle. I think they still get in. What do you think?
Yeah, they get in. But as far as them doing damage, that game, that was a red flag right there. It looks like their defense is starting to feel the effects of losing like Earl Thomas and I can't think of the other guy. They lost the linebacker.
Cam Chancellor.
They had lost the linebacker, Kendricks, I believe.
Yes.
See, so, yeah, they're starting to feel the effects of the way that Kittle was just wide open all game, really exposed them. So
if they end out as the six, right, which is possible, they're probably going to Dallas. I'm sorry, to Chicago, which I don't think is a winnable game for them. If they can slide into the five and play the Cowboys, I think that is a winnable game for them. But the Seahawks are much better, even the record. I mean, they're 4-4 on the road this year, but in general, that's a very difficult place to play. I think they're the kind of team, because of the way they run the ball, that can be a tough out for anybody. But neither one of those are great matchups for them. I think they actually match up better to some of these high-flying teams where they can kind of keep them off the field. What do you think?
I don't give them too much of a chance of either. I think they're on the downswing, Seattle. They kind of peaked at that Minnesota game. Their defense kind of peaked, but I think they're falling off a little.
So based on what I'm hearing, I'm thinking you like Kansas City on the road in this one.
Not really. I don't like what I see about the Chiefs. I don't like what I see from the Chiefs either. But as far as the urgency, Seattle just knows they got that last game in the bank, an easy bye over the Cardinals, while the Chiefs may need it more. So, I'm leaning towards the Chiefs in that one.
Toward the Chiefs, not the Seahawks.
Yeah, not a confident.
I like the Chiefs too.
Yeah,
I mean they're playing. They really don't want to, after the season they've had, end out having to go on the road in the first round, and go to Pittsburgh most likely, right? I mean that's a tough draw for a team with the season the Chiefs have had.
Yeah. I didn't like what I saw from Seattle's defense, the way the 49ers were ripping them.
The other big dick, Nick.
I don't know if they took him for granted, but George Kittle was somebody guard him, you know.
Yeah, he's a really good player. Also a big WWE fan. I don't know if you saw the
press conference.
He said, "You guys are killing me right now. I have tickets to TLC."
The TLC. God bless.
He became my favorite player right there. Boom. Done.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. A lot of, as is the case usually at the end of the year like this, a lot of meaningless games. Saturday, in what actually isn't a meaningless game, Washington at Tennessee. Crazily enough, good chance the winner of this game makes the playoffs. Tennessee has found new life with Derrick Henry. He seems to get stronger as the year goes on, because he was running in quicksand earlier in the season, and now he can't be stopped. First that ridiculous performance against Jacksonville, and then he backed it up by just disrespectfully destroying your boys in that slog of a rainy game. The Redskins get a win against the same Jaguars. The Redskins are in big trouble. I mean, Josh Johnson played all right. He played better than Sanchez had been playing, but I have a hard time seeing them go into Tennessee and win. At the same time, if there was a team that I had to say, okay, what's a kind of a good team that would blow this game? The Titans are like right at the top of that list, given their history. It's a crazy game because I mean, it's two teams where 8-6, 7-7, fighting for a playoff spot, and I have zero trust for either team, either offense or defense, no trust at all.
I wouldn't call the Titans a good team, but they just managed to stay in games and they just played the schedule. They won the games they were supposed to, and now they're in a position to get in. If the Ravens lose and then they win this game in Washington, then that last game versus at home versus Indianapolis is a play-in game. So they do just enough. They have a quarterback. He should be doing more. He was a top pick. But, sometimes he doesn't always play like a so-called franchise quarterback. And they got Henry emerging. They got playmakers on defense. But they are what they are. They're 8-6. They still have flaws, and like you said, they could still slip up here.
Man, they could. You got to like them, though. You like Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
This one?
Oh, yeah. No, I would definitely pick them, but it wouldn't shock me.
Washington's run defense has been really, really bad. Going into last week's game, they played all right in last week's game, but Jacksonville's offense is awful. And Jacksonville was doing something screwy with Leonard Fournette. I don't know if they were punishing him for, you know, what did he do? He told a fan to go fuck himself or something the week before. But
let's not talk about Jacksonville. That's just a disaster.
No Super Bowl for him this year. But yeah, they're bad enough. They're bad enough that they will probably find an answer at quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not the draft for that. One year too late. But going back to Washington, you know, if they had played Johnson in one of those games that they shit with Sanchez, and they could have stole one of those games, they would have been in a better spot to steal that wild card.
Yeah, the Sanchez thing I'll never understand. I mean, he wasn't any good in his prime. Never mind now, he's with a big fork sticking out of his back. I mean, it just, you know, he knows the system, but he can't execute it. At least Johnson, and this was one, you know, there was talk, obviously, of them maybe bringing in Kaepernick. Same kind of reason, same kind of guy, right, where, you know, you get a guy who can do a little something with his legs. It opens up the run game, doesn't make a ton of mistakes. And they're similar to the Titans in that generally they're close games. They've won. And when they lose, they get the living hell beat out of them. But it's tough to see with the run Henry's on, the Redskins stopping him. If I were them, I would put 10 guys in the box every play and make Mariota beat them. Much more preferable. But it's probably going to be, you know, essentially Derrick Henry versus Adrian Peterson, and whoever has the better game, their team wins.
Yeah, definitely lean towards Tennessee.
Yep. What else do we have here? We've got like piss break game of the week. We got a couple of options. Jacksonville, Miami.
Oh, fuck.
That's tough. That's a tough one.
I like how
Packers, Jets in New York in the cold.
Getting back to Miami, I like how they responded with that thrilling win over to New England. They responded with
a bit of a whimper.
A tough game on the road, and I love how Cousins 4-24 versus teams over 500, and he boosted his record to 5-20. Does that even count? You know, Miami's got to be, you know, one game. They were one game over 500. That's just. But getting back to the Vikings, they're turning into ever since that stadium with the dome, they're turning into one of those pussy dome teams that don't show up on the road when it's outdoors now all of a sudden. They're kind of like the Saints were like 5-10 years ago, like the Rams used to be in St. Louis. So when they get outside, they can't play anymore, the Vikings.
What do you think the Lions have a shot?
Yeah, they do.
Stafford's not healthy, which hurts them. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. The Vikings are another. They're right with the Titans and the Redskins for me. That no outcome surprises me. If they win that game by 40 points, I wouldn't be surprised. If they lose by 25, I wouldn't be surprised.
And it sets up that last week where Chicago won't be playing for anything, so they'll probably take them. But then again, it'll be one of those scenarios where they play home versus Chicago the last week, and if they win, they'll have to play Chicago again the next week, where Chicago will really be trying. It'll be in Chicago. So, but I would like the Bears in that. I don't like the Vikings at all on the road. But you see, they fired the OC because he had Cousins throwing 50 times a game and ignoring the run game, and Zimmer's a defensive wants to grind it out a little more. So he got rid of the OC, and he started handling the ball to Cook and Murray at 30 times a game now. Get him ready for the playoffs, you know? Raj?
Sorry, guys. I think I was muted there. Can you hear me now, John?
Yeah.
So I will give you the Reader's Digest version. Good for the Vikings. Dalvin Cook's healthy. They need balance on offense. The Lions' run defense sucks as bad as Miami's. They should follow the same game plan. Get that balance, and it'll make them a little less predictable, a little more consistent.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I would have kept going. I'm used to being ignored, so it's okay.
I muted in order to cough, but apparently I hit the button twice because I think you heard me cough, and then you heard nothing the fuck else.
I stopped because I thought we went down. It's okay. I'm used to being ignored. It's all good.
Another piss break game. Denver at Oakland Monday night. Doesn't get any worse than that. So
that's a Christmas Eve by the fire. Christmas Eve by the dumpster fire.
In our weekly segment about the Raiders, did you see the big news today?
Yes. John Gruden is going to turn Nathan Peterman into his Rich Gannon.
Peterman signs in Oakland. Marriage made in heaven right there. So I don't know if you remember this, but you know how Gruden does his QB camp for all the quarterbacks coming into the draft? He'll sit them down one-on-one.
Yeah.
He doesn't do it anymore, obviously. He did it for ESPN. So Peterman was in the draft with Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky. That was the quarterback draft class. And Gruden loved him, sat him down, loved him, said on the show he was the most pro-ready QB in that class and that he should not fall past the early second round. So he got his guy. What a deal. If he was the Raiders GM at that time, he would have taken him in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a Raiders fan, you got to be disgusted. The guy that's running the show and making all your major decisions, he just wants to be the smartest guy in the room. He wants to be the guy that I told you so. You know, I made this guy when nobody else can. Instead of just going out there and getting the best guys to put your team in a chance to win games, that should be a top priority. But instead, he wants to be the smartest guy in the room. He wants to be the I told you so guy. I'm the only guy that can make this guy good and all ego stuff. It's just just a terrible situation for Raider fans.
So here's my dream scenario, okay? Carr goes down at the beginning of this game. Peterman comes in.
Oh, come on. He's only on the practice squad. He's not going to elevate him to number two already.
Peterman, maybe next week then. Whatever.
Come on.
I want Peterman making an appearance. I want Peterman leading them to a victory, and I want him to not draft a quarterback because of that, or go get another quarterback, or trade Carr, or whatever.
I want them
rolling into next year with Peterman as the starter.
But actually, after the last game, he was kind of soothing Carr, massaging him, saying, "Yeah, you know, I have confidence in him." It looked like he was talking like he's going to bring him back next year.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to, right?
Yeah, with the money.
There's no, I mean, it's not like there's, I mean, I guess Teddy Bridgewater, right, is the best, going to be the best available guy.
Yeah.
How good is Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah, and plus, you know, Teddy's going to have more than a few choices. Why would he want to go to the Raiders? You know, he's going to want to go to somebody that's going to at least give him the rock for, you know, a 4 or 5 year deal.
Who would sign with the Raiders? Really? I mean, it's awful. They don't even know where they're going to be playing, right? The city just sued them. It's a total disaster. From the owner on down, it's the worst run franchise in the league, and it's really not even close. Just, we're sorry, Raiders fans. You deserve better. It's a great fan base. Absolutely, great fan base, passionate.
Poor J.O., our boy, man. He's suffering enough, and he's got to watch the Raiders every week. Poor guy.
It's brutal. Hey, John. So, piss break game of the week. I'm going Jacksonville, Miami. You?
Nah, I think Christmas Eve. That
Denver,
dumpster.
Oakland?
Yeah, by the dumpster
it's
fire.
Tough. It's tough when the piss break game of the week's on Monday night. That's a long piss break.
Yeah, but it's Christmas Eve. That's, you know, everybody's going to be opening the presents.
It's a good point.
You know, I'm going to have some mistletoe above my belt buckle, and hopefully I get a kiss. Yeah.
Hopefully, hopefully it works out better than trying to line me up for the podcast.
Jacksonville, Miami's at 1 o'clock. It could easily be. You won't see much of that on the red zone. That's for sure.
That's a good point. There won't be a lot of red zone in that game. All right, man. I think we hit it all. I think we did 49 minutes. Pretty good. You got any big plans for the holiday? We won't be checking in before that, most likely.
No, it's gonna be low key.
Same here. I'm heading over to seniors for Christmas dinner on Christmas Day. That'll be fun.
Well, one of my quotes is every day is a holiday when you're JAD. So Christmas is no big deal.
Oh, you're a good man. You're a good man. Well. My best to you and yours, our listeners. Wish you Merry Christmas or whatever you may celebrate. We love you guys, and we'll be back next week. Don't forget to check out John's Wednesday morning quarterback.
Yes, it went a little late this week because the editors had their Christmas party. The management of Sports 2.0 had their Christmas party, and it went out Wednesday evening. But, yeah, it's up there, so. Check it out, please.
Oh, we're going to have a very special guest for whenever we do our playoff preview. I got a real knowledgeable guy that you guys are going to love. Another Pats fan. Join me on here.
Our listenership is going to go down from 14 to 7. The two Pats fans. I'll try to keep up the fight, guys, but I don't know, man.
He's right down the middle, though. He's right down the middle. Just like me. All right, John. So take care, everybody. Merry Christmas, and we're out.
Peace, God bless.